Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And our upcoming wealth webinar is called Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. Steve and Justin will share their insights to help you organize a defensive plan to protect your investments and give you clues on how to find opportunities, too. The webinar is this Thursday, April 14th, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It's free, but attendance is limited, so sign up soon. Just go to investtalk.com. That's InvestTalk with two T's, and click on the InvestTalk tab. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of InvestTalk. It is April 12th, 2016. Our goal is to help you achieve above-average investing for the average investor. So what does it mean to be average? Be the average investor. According to the latest research, the average American investor underperforms the market over the long term, and by a huge margin. I saw a 401k study is 50% underperforming the market. And yet, reasons for that poor performance are completely avoidable. Completely. According to DelVar's 2015 Quantitative Analysis of Investor Behavior, the average mutual fund investor has underperformed the market over all time intervals that were examined, which range from 1 to 3 decades. 1 to 3 decades. The study cited in this article in TheFool.com also found that in the 20-year period ending December 31st, 2013, and I realize that's some time ago, that the average investor total return over the 20 years, 2.5%. Average. That is just terrible. So what's the problem? What's the blame? And they identified 9 self-destructive behaviors exhibited by investors. 9 behaviors. So what are some of them? Number 1, don't try to time the market in and out, in and out. You can't do it. Buying a stock or fund just because it's at a bottom or selling one because it's at the top is almost always wrong. You don't buy or sell just because it's there. That's not the only reason you use. There's other things that you got to use. So second, don't chase hot stocks. That happens all the time on this show. People call me up on a stock or a sector that's been hot, doing very well, and they want to know if it's time to buy. Well, after it's already hot, it's too late. You want to buy it when it's not hot. Third, don't panic. During crashes, panic selling is the worst investment move you can make. When there's tough times, don't panic out. If you didn't get out before the panic, don't get out during the panic. It's too late. Now you're selling at the bottom. And yeah, it could go down lower. Yes, that's the fear. It's going to go down lower. It's going to go down lower. The market has always come back. It's just a time frame. How long will it take? Sometimes it's not very long. Like in 2009, from the crash of 2008, came back in almost a year. Did you get it all back in about a year? So we're here to help you fight against the urge to be the average investor. We all have these tendencies, these fears. Everybody does. Don't think you're different than anybody else, including professionals. They do the same thing. But if we can recognize them, maybe we can avoid them and get better results than these studies are showing. InvestTalk is always a question and answer program. We're here to try to help you answer some of the more important money questions in your life. 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number for any money-related questions. So let's take on a question right now.
Hi, this is Adam from Sacramento. Just had a few questions about the oil tanker companies. I was listening to yesterday's podcast, and you were talking about oil, and there are a few oil tanker companies that I'm reading are strong buys. I only know them by symbol DHT, NAT, TOO, TNP are a few of the ones that were rated as strong buys. And I was just curious what your thoughts were on those. Appreciate it. I will be listening. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.
Okay, let's look at the first one you mentioned. DHT Holdings provides marine transportation services for dry bulk, crude oil, and petroleum products with a fleet of 18 vehicles, okay? Last couple of days, it's starting to move up a little bit. It has floundered around the bottom about $5 a share. Now it's at $582, and it's been doing that for 2-3 months now. Okay, is it worth the buy? Should we be buying it? Should we look at it? Well, they're going to make $1.04. They made $1.04 last year, 2015. $1.16, they're going to make $1.10. And then 2017, they're going to make 73 cents. So my first question is, why are they scheduled to lose, not lose money, but lose profits from $1.10 per share to 73? Meanwhile, sales are growing very nicely, but it's a very small company, $545 million. High risk. It's not, as at $5.82, it's not expensive. It's not, but it's very volatile, very high risk, pays a very nice dividend. Not sure if they can keep that up at 14%. If it's at $5.80 stocks, let's see, 10, 20, 10, 50, it would be difficult for it to keep that. I wouldn't suggest that they can keep that dividend at that rate. High risk. Whenever you come with a small cap company like this, it's high risk. High risk means high reward or very big pain. Okay, so you have to take your chances on this one. It looks like a decently solid company, but I would worry greatly about why profits are going to shrink in 2015 from 2016 when oil prices are increasing. Why? So I had to answer that question on this stock. Each individual stock has to be looked at individually. Will the oil tanker stocks improve? I'm going to suggest that I don't think they're going to improve that dramatically until the economy in Europe and China start to improve. Until those start to improve, shipments of oil around the world is going to be under pressure on the downside because we have plenty of supply. The United States demand for oil is going down, not up in the long term, and it has been going down. But we have plenty of oil. There's plenty of oil everywhere. Plenty of oil. So there's not a lot of demand for new oil and shipment of new oil. Not yet, but on the other hand, these look fairly inexpensive right now. But I don't know if I'd pick this particular one, DHT Holdings, because it's so small. I'd rather have a bigger one, be more comfortable in a bigger one. When it comes to building a diversified portfolio for retirement or any other goal, the issue isn't so much the number of funds. How do you choose funds for a truly diversified portfolio? That's going to be our main talking point. Choosing funds to get to a diversified portfolio. How many funds do you need? Also, do you know what the tax freedom day is? That's the number of days the average citizen must work during the year to finally start making money. All the way up until that day, he works. We, he, she, they, works, and gets none of that money because it goes to Uncle Sam or the state or a combination of both. And then what day of the year does he, she, finally start making money for themselves? I got some interesting stats by states. Do you think California is the highest? You'd be wrong. It's not. Not. No. Which one's the lowest? That'd be interesting. Anyways, also China to report GDP on Thursday for the first quarter. Their gross domestic product for Thursday. What are some of the expectations? Can we believe what they say? What are some of the numbers been coming out recently about China? And finally, are do-it-yourself wills valid? You make your own will. Is that good enough? What do you think? And it depends on what state you live in, by the way. So we'll talk about that too. I think it's pretty interesting stuff. I think it's useful information. So let's talk about those things unless you call and we talk about what's on your mind. The market was up pretty decent today, 165 points on the Dow, 39 points on the NASDAQ, and 20 points on the S&P 500. So that's a decent day. It did not nearly make up for the losses it's had last week, but got maybe, well, I don't say nearly, about maybe 50% to 65% up to that, made up those losses last week. Why would the market go up today? What was the catalyst? You know, we had Alcoa report earnings last night, and it didn't look good. They looked bad. I think there was like 90% plus reduction of profits. 90. Dow coal was down 2.67. It was down as much as 5 or 6% at one point for the day. But so Alcoa didn't even give us a hint of good news. Matter of fact, the hint was more bad news as far as earnings. And earnings and sales are going to be bad this first quarter. There's no two ways about it. And everybody knows that. So the market may not fall because of it, because everybody knows it already. Everybody knows it. It's just a question of how bad. Will it be so bad that it surprises everybody on the bad side? Or will it be, okay, it's still bad, but exactly what we thought it would be, so we already priced it into the stock market? It's what makes this so hard to do. There's so much information coming at you all the time. I'm glad you're with us today for Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Some folks ask if there's a charge for our portfolio checkups or if they have to buy anything. No, no. The answer to both those, no. There's no sales pitch. These are information service sessions only. I, of course, want that you as a client, but I don't talk people into it. I'll tell you about our investment programs, that I will do, but I'll talk to you about what's best for you. We can do it individually or Skype or telephone on the 19th of this month. That's what I'm doing, Skype and telephone. 20th, I'll be in San Ramon. Dates are listed on InvestTalk.com. To get on the schedule, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on InvestTalk tab.
Hey guys, this is Dave from Pennsylvania. Hey, I had a question. I was actually looking to add to a position I have in Cal-Maine Foods, and I happened upon a stock called Digirad, D-R-A-D. When I look at this, it looks like a nice value stock. It's a small cap growth in healthcare. It's got a nice P-E ratio. The dividends just under 4. Return on equity looks great. Price per book, price per sale, everything that I look to value actually looks great. So I'm kind of torn. Do I want to add to Cal-Maine Foods, C-A-L-M, or do I want to bring on a new stock, D-R-A-D? Just wondering if you had an opinion on either one. The only thing that I see on Digirad is it's a small volume. Not sure I'm comfortable taking a position with a stock that has an average volume of under 100,000. Actually, it looks like it's under 75,000, but I'm just wondering if you had an opinion on either or which one you actually like. Thanks again.
Now, DRAD, D-R-A-D, Digirad, actually has a volume, average daily, 50-day moving average of volume of 38,300 shares. It's a very small company, $106 million company. Very high risk. Digirad develops solid-state medical imaging systems for the detection of cardiovascular diseases and other medical conditions. Now, I don't know enough about it, just reading about it on here, but it's growing 10 to 15% per quarter. Well, actually more like 6 to 15% for the last four quarters. It's not a high growth stock, so it shouldn't get a high PE. And the PE right now is 22. It's going to make 31 cents a share this year and then 33 cents next year. For me, it's way too risky. I wouldn't buy it. Calmine is a totally different stock. I mean, we're talking now a 2.5 billion company. It produces eggs. I'm going to talk about eggs you eat, shell eggs that are distributed in the Southwest. So it's a much different company. It's a food company. And they're growing too, more big or small growth. I mean, 3% sales growth this quarter, 44% last quarter. So as you can see, it's very volatile there. And it's only a 7 PE. I would prefer this stock as ownership, where it's going to make $7.04 this year. But I think that's because it purchased something, because it's going to make $3.77 next year, down 46%. But I do see that they bought a company, and that might be why it's so radical. You want to find out why that exists. But at $52 and at $3.77 per share earnings, that's fairly reasonable. But why not look for something else? How about that? I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. This is Invest Talk. We're here to urge you to invest time before you invest money. We want to help you learn more about investing, build your financial knowledge, and help you protect your investments. You know, I truly do own the exact same things as my clients. I buy them at the same time, same price. I sell them at the same time, same price. We own the same percentage of each asset in all our performance. So I really do that. And yeah, I can't say that because unless I do it, because I get audited by the SEC and the state. They make sure I do what I say on the radio. Trust me. How many funds do you need for a diversified portfolio? How many do you need? Well, when it comes to building a diversified portfolio, it's not the number of funds that matter. It doesn't. You could do it with one if you have the right fund. So it really depends on the type of funds and the breadth of the securities they hold. What do they own? For example, you can have a pretty well balanced portfolio. That was your goal by having only two funds. Maybe a total stock market index fund and a total bond market index fund. And then you decide how much percentage of each, and you can balance them off. See, or you can also, and by the way, you can have the opposite problem. You can have a dozen mutual funds and not be diversified at all. I've seen it happen. Just because you have different names, they have overlapping, big, huge overlap in the same stocks, and you don't get a diversification. So how do you build it, a diversified portfolio? Well, first of all, you have to decide what kind of investor you are. How much risk do you want to take? How diversified do you want to be? And, I know it's, people are going to say, well, I don't know. How do I decide that? Well, talk to somebody, because it's hard to know what kind of investor you want to be. You can also take my questionnaire, Riskalyze, on my website, investtalk.com, and that will give you a risk score, which kind of tells you how much risk and a score from 0 to 100, how much risk did you want to take. A score of 80, it takes 3 minutes. If a score of 80 means you like to take the same amount of risk as the stock market, the S&P 500. But then once you do that, I usually, I get notified that you took the test. I send an email to you and tell you what your score was and what kind of thing what kind of portfolio would fit you. But if you send me a copy of your holdings, I can put that in the Riskalyze score and then score that as well and see where you are. Then you could decide how much risk you want, how much risk you're taking. I have portfolios built for the types of risks that you want to take. So you really got to discern who are you? What are you? And then how much diversification you want? And do you want to diversify away from the market or toward the market? There's no one correct answer here. It depends on you. Let's go to Mark Mountain View. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Steve. Thank you for taking my call. Love the show.
Thank you.
Just had a couple of quick questions. My first question is actually a complaint.
Uh-huh.
Your premium newsletter link on your website, it doesn't seem to work for me.
The link?
And I've been trying it, the link to the premium newsletter or something like that, which is there on your website.
Yeah.
For $9.99.
Uh-huh.
That link doesn't work for me.
Wow, that's the first time I've heard that. But send me an email.
Really?
Send me an email and I'll check it out and see what the problem is, where it's breaking down.
Okay. So the bigger question which I had in mind was, what is your take on this company called Yahoo?
Yahoo.
Is it a buy right now?
Yahoo Inc. Yahoo, Y-H-O-O. It provides internet search, web content. The problem with Yahoo is they're no longer on the cutting edge. They haven't been for a while. And they're kind of,
that's right.
They're kind of behind the eight ball, and they've been talking about people buying them. Do you remember a few years back, Microsoft offered to buy them, and Yahoo said no.
They rejected it.
Remember that? Didn't want anything to do with Microsoft. Well, turns out they should have took the deal. Anyways, I'm not a big fan of Yahoo because their earnings are not, they're going to go down 10% this year, then up 13% next year. Their sales are growing 2, 3, 4%. And it certainly doesn't deserve a 62 PE. It's going to make 60 cents a share next year. That's, and a $36 stock. It's way too expensive, Mark. It's just, and one of the reasons why it is expensive, because there's a lot of takeover talks that people are going to bid up for it. But, I would not buy Yahoo. It's not for me.
I was just looking for a quick trade, actually.
Okay.
To save And I'm hoping that somebody's going to bid up for the coal business, which because of which the stock might just jump a little bit.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, you might get it up to, on a short-term bounce, it could go up to the low 40s. I could see that happening. But I don't think it's going much further than that. It's just too expensive. Okay, Mark?
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate the call. And send me an email. I'll check that link out for you. You're listening to Invest Talk. A reminder about our webinar this Thursday, April 14th. That's this Thursday, by the way. That's day after tomorrow. On the 14th at 6:30 Pacific time. It's all about survival opportunities in a volatile market. You can sign up now for this free webinar. It's free at oninvesttalk.com. You just sign up there. 888-99-CHART is the anytime number. You can call it right now.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now. We appreciate you subscribing to our podcast, and a reminder that Steve will be on Skype and telephone all day April 19th for individual retirement reviews. It's a handy way to take advantage of a second opinion being offered by a registered investment advisor. And you can contact him, hook up anywhere in the U.S. To get on the schedule, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. We continue with this Tuesday, April 12th Invest Talk, and we're counting down to our Thursday night webinar, Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. Steve and Justin will help you find opportunities. It's this Thursday, April 14th, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can register now on investtalk.com. It's free. Just click on the Invest Talk tab.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Mark in Los Cabos. How you doing, Mark?
That's Mac, Steve. Mac.
I'm sorry, Mac. They had it down as Mark. I'll yell at them after the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I was calling about Phillips 66 versus Chevron. I have Mobil and ConocoPhillips, and I was wanted to add another stock, and I was looking at these two, and I'm really not sure. They're two different ones. Anyway, could you kind of explain the difference between the two? And
okay, what was Phillips 66? Phillips 66 symbol, do you know what that is? PSX.
Yeah, okay. PSX.
Okay, Phillips, okay, we know it's Chevron. Let's talk about Chevron real quick. Chevron is a big integrated oil company, okay? It does everything from drilling to refining to retailing, all the whole gamut, and it's huge, okay? Phillips 66 is also huge at $45 billion. Engaged in refining and marketing of oil and gas and petrochemicals. Phillips 66 really is not a driller producer of oil. It refines it and it refines and oil and gas and petrochemicals. So it's a little bit different than what you have. And because of that, Mark, because of that, it may be something you're more interested in than Chevron. Now, mind you, we own Chevron in our managed accounts, okay? We also own ExxonMobil, which you mentioned. So it's not that I don't like them. I do like Chevron. I like it a lot. But if you're going to get a little bit more diversification in the oil sphere and a little bit better price, I think you might be better served with Phillips 66. They're both huge, right? We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Phillips pays a less dividend, but I think Phillips has is cheaper as far as costs.
It has a lower PE quite a bit.
Yes,
is what I saw. And also, what I'm hearing, does that mean that if oil goes up or down, this one won't be nearly as affected by the price of oil going up and down? Correct.
Well, it won't be as effective, but it will be affected. And frankly, Phillips 66 will probably do better if oil prices go down. Because remember, it's buying oil, then it refines it, and then sells it. or refines it into chemicals and sells the chemicals. So its input cost is the oil it's buying. So I'm only saying, I think you'll be fine with both of them, but I think Chevron has run up a little bit too much in recent months, and Phillips 66 hasn't. And you do realize that Warren Buffett has been a recent big buyer of Phillips 66.
Yeah, I heard that.
Can't argue with Warren Buffett. Don't argue with Warren.
Right.
Okay.
Always a pleasure. Thanks again. Hey,
thanks, Mark. Thanks for the call. Chevron symbol is CVX. Phillips 66 is PXX. P is a Paul. S is in Sam. X is in X-ray. And they're both great companies. You know, it's hard to, say anything negative about either one, except I think Phillips is a little less expensive right now. Why is it a little less expensive? Well, maybe because oil prices have been going up recently, and that's a cost to them as they refine it. Maybe that's why. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278, the Freedom Day. Okay, that freedom, the Tax Freedom Day. That's the day that when you're working all year long, that you actually start working for yourself and you get to put the money in your pocket. The average for the average person. And almost every Freedom Day, you work up until April sometime, almost the same time as tax time, April 15th. That's the average. You got to work January, February, March, and half of April before you start putting money in your own pocket. Everything else goes to paying taxes. The worst states are in May. And it's not California, by the way. Connecticut is the worst, May 21st. You got to work up till May 21st. I mean, think how long that is before you start to actually get to spend your own money. New Jersey is May 12th. New York is May 11th. So there is the three worst states. They're the only states that are in May. California is April 30th, and Minnesota is April 30th. The rest are usually between the 15th and the 30th of April. A few at the beginning of April. None in March. None. Now, what has been the earliest tax freedom day there ever has been since they started income tax, federal income tax? What has been the earliest tax freedom day? And that would be January 22nd. You worked 22 days and then you got your money back. January 22nd. Okay, of course, that was in the 1900s, at the beginning of the century. When income taxes were 5.9% top rate. 5.9% top rate. So what happened between when income tax were 5.9% and now what, they're, you know, what, 30%+? Where'd all that money go? And, mind you, we spend way more than we take in. We're not even balancing our budget at that. So where's all that money going? Isn't it amazing? I mean, it's just amazing how much tax dollars they spend, and everybody's just okay with it. It just amazes me. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ? You want to buy Chevron?
Yeah, I just had a question. Like, you were mentioning that it has run a little bit longer, and still you are holding in your account, in managed account. So
yes.
What is the point you will sell it?
When will we get out of Chevron? Well, yeah. We're getting a close to 5% dividend yield, so it's going to take a lot for me to sell it. I don't think, I'm watching oil prices, what I watch. If oil prices would have to tank before I'd probably sell it, and I don't think, if it broke, because it's right now $97, if I was a trader, I'd have a trend line to get out about, and that trend line would be about, it's like around $90. If it broke below that, that's when I would get out. So that's an 8% fall or so. I'm not a trader. I'm an investor. I probably hold on to this stock for a while unless I felt we were going into recession. See, I don't want to react to the stock necessarily because it moved down or up. I want to react to, what would drive the economy weaker and the world economy weaker, and I would worry about a U.S. recession. If I felt that was on the horizon, I would ease up on all my oil stocks and back off, sell them.
Okay. Thanks for the insight.
Thanks, BJ. I appreciate it. It's not so much the company itself. It's because I think oil prices are going to stay relatively, you know, what it was, almost $40, a little bit above $40. I think they're not going to drop below probably 30. They could, but I don't think they'll stay there. And they're not going to go above 60 either, probably, unless some kind of crisis happens or something dramatic. So unless I worry about the economy, which would drive all stocks down, unless I feel that's on the horizon, then maybe I'd lighten up on those things, get out of Chevron or whatever. But as long as I feel the economy is doing okay and I'm getting 5% on my money, if it just stays flat, I'll take the 5%. It's a core holding, in other words. Okay? Time for InvestTalk 101. Can you convert a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA? Now remember the difference, the major difference between the two, okay? A regular IRA, a traditional IRA, is tax deferred until you start withdrawing it in retirement, allegedly in retirement. Then you have to pay taxes on it. Well, the money you put in this year in a regular IRA, you get to deduct that money from your taxes so you don't have to pay income tax on it. But then when you start taking the money out in retirement, you pay income tax on that. With a Roth, you put money in after taxes. You pay taxes already. But all the years it grows, up until 59 and a half, when you start taking it out, you never had to pay taxes on all the growth. So how do you convert from one to the other, or how should you? Now, if you decide you want to convert from a regular IRA to a Roth, the simplest way is to have the financial institution that currently holds your traditional IRA do the paperwork and transfer it directly from a regular IRA to a Roth. And you can do a partial. You don't have to do it all. That would be the easiest and safest way. Well, you can also roll it over yourself. You can withdraw the money from your traditional IRA and deposit in a Roth IRA account somewhere else, but it's a little bit riskier, as long as you do it within 60 days of the withdrawal. You got 60 days. The reason why I don't like this also is that it produces a question from the IRS. What did you do with this money? I don't know if I want to be answering IRS questions. So you got to be careful. You can do it that way. Converting a traditional IRA into a Roth IRA can provide tax-free income and estate planning advantages in the future. I like Roth. The longer you can leave in a Roth, the better. But if you're really short-term, you know, and you're retiring the next year, the year after, you're going to start withdrawing money, it doesn't really pay to roll a regular IRA to a Roth IRA. It just really doesn't. You need longer term. You need years to let it grow. That's InvestTalk 101. If you have questions about Roth IRAs, send me a note. Click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
Have you signed up yet? Our Thursday live webinar is free, but you do need to register. Attendance is limited. There's a maximum number we can enroll, so sign up right now. Survival and opportunities in a volatile market, April 14th, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can sign up on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab.
Hello, I'm a podcast listener from Massachusetts. I have a question on a REIT, HCP. They're a healthcare REIT. Love your guys' show, learning a lot. And would like to know your long-term lookout for this REIT, as I plan on holding it for many years. Thank you.
HCP is a REIT, real estate investment trust, that owns and acquires leases 1,108 healthcare-related facilities. It could be hospitals, it could be retirement homes, it could be assisted living homes, those kinds of things. Long-term, I really like this company. Long-term. I think it's a great company to own long-term. They pay a 6.6% dividend. The current PE is 11. It's going to go up because they're going to make $2.77 next year, down 13% from last year. Then they're going to rebound a little bit to 283. Very consistent growth rate of in 10, 11, 12. It can go down as low as 5%, but it's been pretty consistent at around 10%. So you want to buy the stock when it's on sale. Is it on sale? Well, it was on sale. It was got down to $27 at the beginning of the year. When the market fell, it fell. Now it moved all the way back where it started at the beginning of the year to $34.98. And just right now at the 200-day moving average, it's going to be hitting resistance here, meaning it's going to slow down its march up. Long term, you want to be a holder of this one because of that dividend. REIT, that's why you buy REITs, the dividend. And the dividend is pretty darn safe. Pretty secure. They have enough earnings. You know, remember, it's a $35 stock, a $2.83. A REIT has to pay 90% of their earnings in the form of a dividend. 90%. Okay. So that's $2.80 or so, and they make $2.83 next year. So they can maintain the dividend they have at 6%. They should be able to pretty easily. So I'm pretty confident that they'll keep that dividend about that rate or higher. I would rather see you wait for another pullback to buy it. I think you'll get one sometime this year. HCP, everybody. Kind of like it. I like the healthcare REITs area. China's to report its first quarter GDP number this Thursday. Why am I talking about it since it's only 2 days away? Why don't I wait till it happens? Well, because we already know what they're probably going to say. How do we know that? Well, we know they kind of manage their GDP number. Reminds me of GE in the 1990s. Every quarter, GE would beat its earnings by one penny. Its earnings estimate by one penny. Quarter after quarter after quarter for years. So was it real? No, it was managed. The experts, a survey of economists, say they're going to grow at 6.7% for the first quarter, down from 6.8%, okay, from the quarter before. China itself this year has a target range of 6.5 to 7%. So do you think they're going to come in around 6.8, 6.7? Probably. I would make a pretty good bet that they would. Okay, now, for all of 2015, they came in at 6.9. So they expect a little bit of slowing growth. But there's been some evidence of a little bit better numbers. PMI increased to 52.5 for the service sector. Anything above 50% is good. In March, it was 51.2. Now it's 52. February PMI manufacturing is at 50.02. It was 49. So it looks like they're coming in for a soft landing. But, of course, you do know that these numbers are not real. China has a habit of not telling us the whole truth. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. I'm here to answer your questions. Our Invest Talk anytime number is 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Ruby in San Jose. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Well. Thank you.
Hi. So my question is, in your research, so what are the top performing, the emerging market ETFs are like, if you can throw some light on it. Thank you.
Which one? Which ETF you want me to look at?
The emerging market.
Emerging market. Okay, emerging market, everybody. And the symbol for emerging market is, I think, EMM, if I remember right. Let's take a quick look. No, it's EEM, I guess. Okay, let's take a quick look here. Okay. Oops. You're breaking up. I'm hearing. So it's EEM, Exchange Traded Funds Seeking Performance, corresponding to the Emerging Market Index. So what do we think about the emerging markets, everybody? I don't think they'll do really well until China turns around. Now, we may not be that far from China turning around, but until they do, I can't see how emerging markets can really get strong. It just, How are they going to be able to do that when China is such a driver? Now, it bounced off the bottoms of its lows, but I don't think it's going to have a lot of legs. Not yet. Not yet. Too early. Rabbi, thanks for the call. Let's go to Keith in New York. How you doing, Keith?
Hey, good. Got a ticker for you, CLF.
Okay, that's Cliff Natural Resources, producer of iron ore pellets with 7 iron ore mines in Minnesota, Michigan, Eastern Canada. There's all iron ore, everybody. So the question is, it looks like they've gotten off the bottom, just like the emerging markets. And it looks like, do you think the world economy and the U.S. economy is going to grow? If you say yes, then you would want to be in this, okay? But they're not making any money right now. It's totally dependent on whether you feel the economy is going to do well or not. And it has had 2 really good days, you know, in a row.
Right.
And so it looks, it's almost doubled in, 2 or 3 months? That's really great. But it's still only $3.98, everybody. Will they go out of business? No. They're not making any money. I wouldn't buy it, Keith, because it's not making any money. That's my personal bias, okay?
Right,
but I'll
tell
you this. Insiders are buying. The insiders are buying. So if you wanted to roll the dice, this would be a good stock to roll the dice on. Okay?
Okay.
Okay? Thanks for the call, Keith. Appreciate it. That's CLF, iron ore producer. It's not a huge company, $700 million. One of the reasons, because the stock price is really low at $398. So, are do-it-yourself wills valid? Wills, doing it a will yourself, is that valid? And the short answer is yes, they are valid. But there's a big but, however, behind it. Yes, however. So, one of the problems you have is that, let's say you're getting married later in life. Okay, and your spouse already owns a house and you marry them after they own the house. Is it your house if he or she dies? Is it your house? Well, if you live in California, Arizona, Idaho, Louisiana, Texas, Nevada, and New Mexico, they are community property state and it would probably be your house. Everywhere else, these are equitable distribution states. May not get that house. Depends on how long the original owner had it before you got married. So the short answer is yes, wills that you do it yourself are valid. The long answer is go get a lawyer. Get a lawyer. It's not going to cost you that much. And if you're going to do a will, do it right. Don't, you know, in California, there's some peculiarities that you might run into, so you got to be real careful. But yes, do-it-yourself wills are valid. They're just as valid as anything else. Just make sure you do them right. I'd get a lawyer though. Our time is up. A reminder, I will be doing individual retirement reviews on Skype and telephone all day on April 9th. Then the next day I'll be in the San Ramon office on the 20th. That's the April 20th, San Ramon. To get on the schedule for that day, just go to investtalk.com. That's investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's do it again next. How about tomorrow?
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.